Diamond flies its new DA-42NG from Austria to Oshkosh. Sadler says the Vampire LSA is ready for customers. And a two-place enclosed flying motorcycle comes to AirVenture. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, July 24th, 2009. Diamond Aircraft says its new DA-42NG, equipped with a pair of Austro AE300 170-horsepower turbo-diesel power plants, manufactured by an affiliate of Diamond, has been flown across the Atlantic from Diamond's facility in Austria to the U.S. East Coast and will now be headed for Wisconsin. The company says the plane was flown over 7 legs over 2.5 days. Cruise was done at 14,000 feet using 65% power for 155 knots, and fuel burn averaged 5.6 gallons per hour per engine. The plane will be on display all next week at AirVenture. In news which will certainly be of interest to flight schools still using steam gauges, Diamond says its two-place DA-20 has been certified in Canada with the Aspen Avionics EFD-1000 primary flight display. In this particular panel, Aspen's display sits in the center of what would normally be a steam gauge six-pack, retaining the mechanical airspeed, altitude, turn and bank, and vertical speed indicators on each side. The arrangement is specifically aimed at flight schools who want to turn off the PFD's HSI functions at times to simulate a more traditional instrument scan for students. The latest iteration of the Sadler Vampire will be displayed at AirVenture. With 100 LSAs now available in the U.S. market, it's a little hard to keep track, but I'm pretty sure the Vampire is the only LSA built on a scaled-back air-to-ground fighter airframe to be capable of more than plus or minus 6 Gs. The pusher prop sits behind an engine cowl large enough to leave options open for power plants, but Sadler says its current plan A is the 120-horsepower Jabiru 3300 flat 6. The wings are hinged at 2 points like an aircraft carrier-based World War II bomber for ease in trailering. Climbing in and out over the low threshold is easy, and the interior takes cues from the automotive world. Sadler VP David Littlejohn relates, quote, "We're really excited to go from R&D to delivering airplanes. This has been a long road, especially in a challenging economy. I think light sport aircraft are going to emerge as true value leaders in the aviation community, and the Vampire should really deliver on that front," unquote. MSRP starts at under $100,000 U.S. Oshkosh will also see a move to one-up the Terrafugia Transition, last year's flying car sensation. The Switchblade from Samson Motorworks claims motorcycle simplicity in a folding wing kit plane for the experimental amateur-built market. Unlike a motorcycle, the two seats are arranged side by side. Projected price is $60,000 U.S. without engine or avionics. The Switchblade addresses some of the compromises in fly-drive vehicles a little differently than the Terrafugia team chose to. Samson's vehicle uses wings which fold in a scissors motion, locking them into an under-chassis clamshell case to protect them while driving. The nose wheel lifts 5 degrees for takeoff, eliminating the need to rotate, which is difficult with rear wheels far behind the CG. The display at Oshkosh will be an engineering mock-up, but you'll still be able to sit in it and get a feel for the size and layout. The company says the Switchblade will get 60 miles per gallon on the road and 22 miles per gallon in the air at 130 miles an hour, using a two-rotor Wankel power plant burning autofuel. In an interesting twist, there will also be a version sold as a motorcycle for use only on highways. Up next on ANN, Bell employees end their strike in Texas. Cirrus names a new sales rep in Japan. And the NTSB wants changes in the Learjet 60. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 24th. I'm Paul Plack. All employees of Bell Helicopter, represented by the United Auto Workers Local 218 in Texas, are expected to start returning to work Monday after a 6-week strike, which either caused little disruption of customer deliveries or total chaos, depending on whether you believe the company or the union. Workers are being directed to a company webpage for details on business updates and information sessions being held at the Fort Worth Convention Center. Attendance is required before returning to work. The company says the new four-year contract provides wage increases of 3% in each of years 2, 3, and 4, 15 anticipated cost of living adjustments, and a cash ratification bonus of $3,500. There are 50 paid holidays over the deal's four-year term. One point of contention for the union, the outsourcing of janitorial work, was handled by providing higher-paying classifications for current janitors serving at Bell before the in-house janitor positions are phased out in September. Cirrus Aircraft has announced a new sales center in Japan. Lotus Air Corporation, a.k.a. Cirrus Japan, will partner with Harada Gakun Kobe Air Center in Tokyo to handle sales and distribution. A July 8th open house introduced a facility with the capacity to house more than 30 aircraft, an executive lounge for aircraft owners and pilots, conference rooms, and other multipurpose areas. Cirrus SR-22 aircraft were on display for the event. In addition to sales, Cirrus Japan is working to become an authorized service center, offering transition training, demonstration flights, and aircraft maintenance. A failed takeoff attempt in South Carolina last year, which claimed four lives, has led the National Transportation Safety Board to recommend the FAA require a redesign of thrust reversers on the Bombardier Learjet 60. The recommendation also covers a similar system used on the Hawker 1000 business jet. In the South Carolina accident, an apparently blown tire prompted the crew to attempt to abort the takeoff, despite being at or above rotation speed. Investigators say there's evidence the engines were at high thrust settings, but that the reversers were inadvertently stowed when the plane hit an embankment. Among the measures called for by the board are thrust levers in future production aircraft that are designed so that the reverse lever positions in the cockpit match the positions of the thrust reverser mechanisms at the engines when the thrust reversers stow. Operators of existing planes would be required to retrofit improved oral or visual cues and provide crews with appropriate training. Still ahead, NextGen could bring a windfall to small businesses. In-flight Wi-Fi, airline perk, or evil plot. And here's why next week's sunburn will be worth it. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, July 24th. I'm Paul Plack. The FAA says small aerospace companies could be in line for billions of dollars in the next 2 years, and it's not even part of a bailout program. The opportunities are part of the transition to satellite-based navigation as part of the NextGen ATC initiative. FAA Chief Acquisitions Officer James Washington tells Newbiz, quote, billions of dollars in contracts will be awarded in the next 12 months to 2 years. Some of them are set aside for small businesses, while others are teaming opportunities and a combination of IT and service contracting opportunities, unquote. The remarks came at a 3-day trade show on small business procurement opportunities sponsored by FAA and DOT in New Jersey. Newbiz says 95 companies were represented at that event. If it seems amazing that the airlines are rolling out Wi-Fi during a recession, maybe you, like I, just really haven't thought it all the way through. Reuters reports the airlines are hoping that by letting you surf and email and tweet during your flight, they'll be able to quietly eliminate what's left of their in-flight entertainment budgets without anybody noticing. Analysts call it content customization, which sounds like a benefit to you, and maybe it is. But airlines also save money on in-flight entertainment costs. Peter Harbinson, an analyst at the Center of Asia-Pacific Aviation in Sydney, observes, quote, the biggest advantage for airlines is the weight of the IFE equipment. Fuel burned, regular engineering checks, and licensing fees to movie studios all add up to a considerable amount of money for airlines, unquote. Here's a big surprise. Infamous low-cost carrier Ryanair is reported to be considering installing USB ports and power outlets for portable computers and then charging a fee to use them. Technology marches on, but some things never change, right? And finally today, can it possibly have already been a year? Is it really time to pick out a sacrificial pair of athletic shoes, cram the portable AeroCast equipment into a carry-on already stuffed with a week's worth of thick socks, fly to the home of a Wisconsin family who got out of town for the week, and draw straws each morning to see who gets a shower? Why, yes it is. EAA Air Venture Oshkosh doesn't open till Monday, but just as it is at Paris or Farnborough, there's lots to report on Sunday as companies and organizations unleash big announcements on the eve of the show. Our advance team will have been at Whitman Regional for a week by Monday, setting up the portable office trailer, computer networks, and Aero TV's remote video production facility. And you know what? We'll all miss a lot of sleep this coming week, but we get to see the world's greatest aviation celebration from inside the yellow ropes. And there's something really cool about having the CEO of an aircraft manufacturer drop what he's doing because, excuse me, but Aero News is here. All in all, there's no question the experiences we have at Oshkosh are worth a little dust and a few mosquitoes. But there is one way in which our experience there is just like yours. Every year, I tell myself that with a little better planning, I could see it all. It hasn't happened yet. Maybe this'll be the year. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, John Gilmore, the new national sales manager for Flight Design USA, tells me what it's like to be tasked with improving the sales of what is already America's best-selling LSA. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'll talk to you next on Monday from Oshkosh. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend, and have a clear and unlimited day.